It's Paul Hamilton.
I had a little thing with Paul the other night in Winnipeg, though. We went to dinner, right? And we got talking about Winnipeg being, in the wintertime it's so cold, in the summertime it's just bugs, bugs, bugs. And then he's like, bugs? And we go, yeah, mosquitoes out here are crazy. And he goes, like the mosquitoes that bite you? No, Paul. Like, we're like, no, the ones that lick your face and make you laugh and you lay down. That's what he asked us.
The house pet mosquitoes, you meant.
That bite you. Right. I didn't know there was different ones.
On WGR Sports
Radio
5.
Yes, I was listening to that and thinking, Paul, really? Paul, by the way, is on our Westar hotline. We'll bring him in for this. Hello, Paul.
Hello. Paul, to your defense.
Really? There's mosquitoes that...
Female mosquitoes bite.
No kidding.
Yep.
You're serious.
I'm serious.
I honestly, first off, let me tell you, though, I didn't know there were female and male. I guess
male mosquitoes feed on flower nectar. The female mosquito bites.
Well,
There you go. There you go, Paul. That is true.
Paul, wait a minute. Paul, don't portray it like you knew that. You just found that out because Jeremy told you.
He didn't not know it.
Yes, he did. Right. I call shenanigans. You did not know that when you said to Rob, you mean the kind of mosquitoes that bite? Fess up. You did not. What, they teach you that at Iowa State in botany class?
No, wait a minute. I got it. Mosquito myths and facts. They both bite. Uh-oh. Maybe some just prefer not to bite.
It's the rare Western Canada mosquito.
Like, isn't there some Disney movie where the guy doesn't want to, I don't know, the sharks, fish are friends or something like that? Sharks that don't eat? I don't know. I tried, Paul.
Well, Jeremy, you're going to the game tonight, aren't you?
I'm very excited to go to the game, and I'm excited to get my Sabres apron.
That's where I was headed. Are you going to wear that apron for the tailgates now?
Maybe. Why not? I mean, it's a Thanksgiving apron. It's a Sabres apron to the first 15,000 fans. So that's a nice little giveaway. I'm beyond excited for tonight's game, Paul. I think it's going to be fun. I was actually just on StubHub and the actual ticketing site to see how many tickets are available. And in the 300 level, you're looking at like single seats. And in the 100 level, there are a couple of pairs here and there. But it looks like most of the tickets, at least from the Sabres standpoint, have been sold. And on StubHub, the cheapest seats are about $60. So,
you can't get a ticket for $6 anymore.
No. Not tonight.
But this is a game that usually sells very well.
Yes, right.
And even in the bad times.
Did they play Winnipeg last year in this spot?
I don't remember, but all I know is that game before Thanksgiving is a very good seller, and I think that's one of the reasons they play it, but they have it every year, and then everybody goes out and attends amateur hour when they're done, and it's a big thing here.
I'll pull up their schedule. I'll find out who they played last year. I want to say Winnipeg recently.
When was the Lyon-McCabe game? Was that more than a year ago?
Nah, that's a good question.
Because I know Jonathan and I went to the Winnipeg game where Lyon got laid out by McCabe, and he would have had to have been home on break.
Now, Howard, after the day before Thanksgiving, you're usually out and about drinking.
Oh, I'm out hard partying, Paul. Yes, yeah, I am.
That's your hard party night.
Yeah, I am. I am cake vodka to the world. In fact, I get a designated driver because I'll be cake vodka ing.
Can I give you your stat of the day? Not even kidding. This is real. So last year on Thanksgiving, the Sabres played Minnesota.
Okay.
And they lost 5-4. It was their seventh consecutive loss.
Really?
Tonight they go
for a
seventh consecutive win.
Look at that.
Jeremy, I'm going to steal that for my article.
All right. What a difference a year makes, right? 1 year later, going for a seventh consecutive win instead of a seventh consecutive loss. Mm-hmm. And then this is the Sabres last year, they won their next game and then lost 4 in a row. They were just brutal at this point last year in the midst of falling to 6-17-4.
You know what? Let me pick up on that point from Jeremy, Paul. We brought this up with Marty Baron earlier this morning. Some people are beginning to do comparisons to 05-06. And I don't know if it's as much about the talent on the roster as it is a team that you weren't sure what they were going to do. All of a sudden, hey, this is fun. They're winning, you know? That team was around a 500 group. And then they hit a stretch in November and December where they won 12 of 13 games and they didn't look back. Do you see any kind of compare, contrast at all, 05-06 to what you're witnessing now?
No, just because guys like Briere and Drury are a little more veteranish, so to speak. That's not a word, but I'm going to use it anyway.
We always make up stuff on this show. Don't worry about it. I'm terrible with that.
Just so the English police doesn't come after me,
we'll get tweets about it. Don't worry about it. I'll get angry emails from English teachers. I'm so sorry, but go ahead, Paul.
Anyway, I actually forgot what we're talking about.
The 05-06 team and the veteran players.
Those guys were a little, I think, more seasoned than these guys. These guys are too young to know any better, and in some cases. I mean, you have Dahlin, you have Mittelstadt. Eichel is still a young player. Reinhardt is still a young player. I mean, he's not a, I know he's been in the league for this is his fourth year, but I still consider him a young player. And they've got some youngsters. Yeah, there's some veterans on this group, but, you know, they just go out there and they, hey, 4-1, Pittsburgh, who cares? I mean, that's what you expect from the Buffalo Sabres in Pittsburgh for the last how many years?
Yeah.
Just to get your doors blown off. You're in the game for a little while, and this game they weren't in at all. And then next thing you know, they go in intermission, and it's 4-3 when it was 4-1. And now you're thinking, are they going to do this again? You know, they just got to go out and win a third period. And sure enough, I mean, the third periods have been lights out for
them. Yeah, I mean, recently. I think, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I'll go to this question now, Paul, is that, you know, the whole thing about the good news is they're coming from behind. The bad news is you don't want to keep having to come from behind. But I think the whole idea, some people are portraying that, you know, this isn't sustainable, all that. They're not having good first periods, but quite honestly, the second, for sure, they've been the better team in this stretch in the third period, but even the second period in Winnipeg, in Minnesota, in Pittsburgh, they might start out badly, but then they become the better team over the remainder of 40-plus minutes.
In Pittsburgh, it wasn't a total loss in the first period. They got behind 2-0, and then they picked it up. Mm-hmm. I thought they played better in the second half of the first period and got the goal to make it 2-1.
Yeah.
So I thought they picked up their play in that first period. It wasn't the whole period wasn't a disaster. I think they wound up getting outshot 15-10, and if I'm not mistaken, they started off being outshot 11-1. So they picked it up in the first period there, and then, as I said, then they gave up a couple of more in the second period, then picked it up again, and we all know what happened.
Let me circle back to what Jeremy was talking about, you know, ticket sales, and I would expect the crowd will be pretty electric tonight for numerous reasons. You've been at every home game, and we've talked many times over the years with you about how dead the building has been. What have you seen in terms of atmosphere? Do you see it gradually getting better? I'm gonna guess you'd say, sure, it's been louder than it's been in the past to this point.
Paul, I'm going to ask you to kind of jump on this question a little bit. I think the crowd is always nervous until they score a goal, and then it kind of loosens up.
Well, let's talk about the Tampa game that started off this stretch against good teams. They got behind in that game. And I think there was a little bit of nervousness in the crowd. But as the comeback started, you know, and they started scoring goals. And the Vancouver game, I think the Vancouver game's a better example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vancouver had taken the crowd pretty much out of the game.
Jack Eichel's absence had taken the crowd out of the game, too.
Yeah, it was 3-1, and it was nothing was going on, and it was just quiet. And then Buffalo pulls the goaltender, scores two goals, and the roof came off the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like as loud as you've heard it in a long, long time. And I think that's the difference. And I think that's exactly the point Jeremy made. They were like a little nervous of, are they going to, can they get back? I mean, Vancouver's just kind of smothering them here. And it's just nothing's going on here. And it's just like a blah game. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they pull the goaltender and you've got two goals and you're on your way.
I guess what I would wonder, as long as we're making up words, when it comes to, for me, Paul, with tonight, you know, what's happened since the last home game? They went on the road and they won three straight games on the road. It's believability. And I think there's an, you know, how pumped are you? How noisy are you? How into it are you at a home game? Well, how's the team playing? The Tampa game, you know, off of that game, you would have said, well, if we got outplayed and Hutton stole 2 points. But then you go to Winnipeg and you play well against one of the top teams in the West. And you go to Minnesota and you come back and you play well against one of the top teams in the West. Sure, Pittsburgh's struggling, but you haven't won there in 5 years or so. And you come from three back. I think there's a little more believability from the fan base going into tonight's home game. A little more buy-in.
No, there absolutely is. And they're excited about the team. I mean, before we started talking, I'm on NFL.com, and they have the schedule up top. And I'm thinking to myself, well, which is a bigger game, the 3-7 Jacksonville Jaguars against the 3-7 Bills or the 2-8 49ers against the 3-7 Bucks? I mean, people aren't going to get excited about that. I can't imagine the stadium's going to be popping as much as, unless, you know, you have people who don't like Doug Marone and want to see the Bills stomp on Doug Marone or anything like that. So now, you know, they've turned their attention to a team that's just been god-awful for so long and now is doing something that a lot of them weren't expecting. Well, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to sit here and say I was expecting them to pick up 8 points in that four-game run against those teams? No, I wasn't. I thought 500 was a lofty expectation. And, you know, I think that, you know, fans are excited. They want to get excited about these sports teams. They want to see touchdowns. They want to see goals. And they want to see excitement. And win or lose, at least you're going to go down and see some excitement a lot of the time when you go down to a hockey game now.
Paul, how good is this team? A quarter of the way through the season. How good are they?
You know, people wanted Eichel to be captain last year or the year before, and he wasn't ready to lead last year. They didn't have a leader to put a C on last year. It's as simple as that. And I think doing it too early, I don't think would have been good for him. He needed to mature. He needed to want this team to be his and really want it. He always wanted it to be. But, I mean, be ready for it. Be ready to put this team on his shoulders. And ready to do it. And they figured out that he's ready this year. I remember saying after that San Jose game with Brian that, you know what, this is starting to get to a point where he didn't have a point in four games. He has got to take this team on its back. Mm-hmm. I know he's young, but he has got to be the guy that pulls them out of that. And sure enough, that next game in Los Angeles, he was the best player on the ice. And they haven't looked back since, and he hasn't looked back since. And you know, people get on his back because he doesn't score goals. Who cares? I mean, if he gets assists and he's on a 90-point pace, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, it's not like he's never going to score a goal again, and he did get one. It was a cheap one, but who cares? That's a lot of goals in the NHL are scored that way. You know, cheap goals that, you know, aren't the prettiest of goals. But maybe that's the goal they need to get him going, and I think he has led this club. I think he has helped change the atmosphere in the locker room, understanding that last year just wasn't – you're not going to win when you have a locker room like they had. They brought other players in to help him, Skinner. Sherry understands what a good locker room is. He understands what a championship team is. You know, so you bring in these guys, and it's just come together. There's not a lot of people rolling their eyes or hatred or – down in the locker room. They like each other. They're out to dinner with each other. Rob Ray has been talking about it, you know, where we were out to dinner in Winnipeg. 9 guys walked by us, you know, on the way to dinner. You know, I can't remember the last time I saw that.
I wanted to ask you about that because post-game after Pittsburgh the other night, Paul Eichel talked about this with you guys. And I wondered how much of it is, that I doubt it, the sincerity of it, but how much of it is because they're winning? He talked to you guys about there's trust, there's belief in each other. We look around the room. We know the next line's going to get the job done. We're a tight-knit group. We're really close. How much of that is just a natural byproduct of winning? How much of it is, do you think, legitimately, even if they were playing 500 hockey, it's a different group?
It is a different group. Winning helps. There's no question about that. But I'll use the example of before training camp started when the players are skating up on their own at Harbor Center in August.
Yeah,
Eichel showed up pretty early for that. In past years, he would show up around Labor Day-ish, somewhere in there. He was there pretty early for that. And he went home for a charity game, BC against BU, on a Friday. And I thought, okay, he'll probably come back at Labor Day. Nope. He went back home for that game Monday morning. He was back on the ice in Buffalo. He felt it was important to be here. Sam Reinhart wasn't even signed. But yet he was back here on the ice because he said, I talked to him, and he goes, I think it's important for me to be here to meet my new teammates and to interact with them and get to know them a little bit and just be here. He thought it was important, even though there was a pretty good chance maybe he was going to hold out for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think it started back then that they understood. Bottrell made no bones about it, that this is going to change. What went on in that locker room last year is done. It's not happening again. And he made the changes, and I think that's when it started. I think, you know, guys showing up early, guys going out together. Jack Eichel went to Minnesota to go golf with Casey Mittelstadt and Phil Housley and a bunch of other players. I don't know. There might have been four or five players there. They all just went in a summer weekend to have fun together. That's when it started.
Paul is with us on our Wester Hotline, 803-0550. You want to talk Sabres with us. 7:30 faceoff tonight. Again, if you're looking for it on television, it's an NBCSN game. Of course, the Sabres radio call right here on WGR. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about from postgame the other night was Kyle Okposo. And he talked, Paul, about this team staying on an even keel. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. We've brought it up with you from the standpoint of when they get behind, they don't seem to panic. They don't get flustered. They don't do the whole, oh gosh, we feel sorry for ourselves, and it snowballs. But now, how do you handle winning? For a team that hasn't, as a group, had any success, I get giddy. I mean, I'm pumped about what I've seen. Jeremy's fired up. We're all fired up. He talked about staying even keel. Do you see that? And if you do, I assume that's a good sign, that they're not getting too carried away with a hot streak.
I've seen it so far, but I know they're really excited about coming home for this game after what they've been able to accomplish. So, yeah, you know what? It could happen for a game at some point, you know, where it's just they get full of themselves and they don't go out and work and it just becomes a disaster for a game. But I don't see it lasting. Remember Phil Housley in the beginning of the year when things weren't going well? He stood at the podium in the post game and said, this is not happening again.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And a lot of fans snickered. Yeah, whatever. You know,
I snickered. You know, I think that's something you hear a coach say, you know?
Yeah. And it hasn't happened again. And I think, you know, they have people now in the locker room. And, you know, Jack is the clear leader of this team that, they're going to, folks, newsflash, they're going to lose two games in a row again this year at some point.
I don't know.
It's going to happen.
Oh, you pessimist, you negative Nancy.
But I, you know, they have guys on that team that don't turn a two game, I think. Mm-hmm. That don't turn a two-game losing streak into a seven-game losing streak. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, you're going to lose a couple of games, but you can't – if you're going to be a good team and be in the playoffs, you can't go on those seven-, eight-game, nine-game streaks where you won once.
Paul, the Mittelstadt wrister the other day, pretty impressive shot. And it gets to a larger question of, do you see him – really making strides now in the offensive end of things.
He's always come across to me, Paul, as someone who totally expects to be really good at hockey at the NHL level. He's been good for his entire life, and whether that's college or world juniors, like, he strikes me as a guy that knows it's coming and isn't all, I mean, like, that goal is really impressive, and not to say he's not impressed with himself, but he expects this for himself in his life.
He does, and he works hard when it doesn't go his way. He works at the game. He's in looking at video. And you guys tell me, did that goal roll up the goaltender's chest protector and up into the top of the net? I have seen numerous replays.
I thought it went in clean.
I didn't think so.
I thought he just top-shelfed
it. I thought it rolled up the chest protector and went in, and I don't know. I have seen so many replays.
Maybe that's why he said he got lucky?
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter. But I thought it's a hard enough shot that, as I said, it rolled up and went under the bar. I thought. But I can't. I did. That's why I wanted to ask you guys to see what you saw on the play. But still, it was a good shot. I mean, he got rid of it in a hurry. Just a good play by Bogosian to step up at the blue line, knowing he's got help. I mean, if you step up and you don't have help, you're in trouble. He steps up and he keeps the puck into Okposo. Okposo, instead of just firing it somewhere, takes a look, sees Mittelstadt over there. Mittelstadt may have given him a yell. I don't know. And puts a perfect pass over there, and he gets rid of it in a hurry. He doesn't let DeSmith get set. And either way, whether it went in clean or it went up his chest protector and went in, he doesn't let him get set and winds up scoring the goal for it. And I think he's just going to keep getting better every game because he does. And I think it's because of the work he puts in. And Okposo sits next to him in the locker room, and they kid around being at the University of Minnesota. And Mittelstadt has an apartment or a house, whatever they got, with Darlene. And the two of them are kind of learning together. And in the beginning, they said that Mittelstadt said Darlene didn't say a whole lot. Now they've become really good friends, and they're kind of learning the league and Buffalo and being away from home. They're learning all that together.
And, Paul, for comparisons to 05, 06, which, again, I don't really buy all those, but the growing up together, like this might be the year before 05, 06, where all those guys are in Rochester during the lockout and coming up together. So you have a, you know, if you have a tight group of Sabres youngsters, you know, you might be starting to get that and get a little bit more of a natural supplementation from Rochester. Guys coming up, and whether it's Mittelstadt and Dahlin or it's Olofsson and Asplund and the guys down there, that, you know, what Botterill's trying to build probably is a little bit of that.
No, you've hit that right on the head. And the guys, you're right, the guys in Rochester, Gouley and Asplund and Olofsson and Malone. I mean, they're learning it now. Nylander, they're all down there together, learning it together. Pilot is another one, and I think all those guys will eventually be Buffalo Sabres and part of this group, to join in with the young guys like Eichel and Reinhardt and Mittelstadt and Dahlin. I don't want to forget about Borgen. They've really been impressed with him. I mean, Borgen can maybe be a really strong third pair defenseman for them in the future. So, you know, that's exactly what they're doing down there. And that's what the Penguins did with some of those guys, you know, Sherry and Gensel. And, you know, they kind of grew up together before they wound up getting up there also.
Paul, for what it's worth, I just took a look at the Mittelstadt goal again. Slow-mos, two different replays. I don't think it touched DeSmith. He definitely moves his right arm and shoulder up. And it doesn't look like it touched him. It doesn't really change any kind of direction. It was fluttering going anyway, going in. I don't think he got it. I thought it looked like it went right over the top of him.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought it ran right up his chest protector, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, goal's a goal. Yeah. All right, well, have fun tonight and have a great Thanksgiving too, Paul.
Should
we'll
we get
to
Paul
you.
To vote off?
Oh, shoot, I forgot.
Somebody from Thanksgiving Survivor,
yes. Remaining contestants include Stuffing, Beer, Liquor, Family, Friends, Jeff Skinner, the Saints-Falcons game, the Turkey Trot, Rolls, Pie, and Leftovers.
How about the old man like Howard Simon taking the nap after the meal?
We didn't even have up? Naps used to be on there. They're not on there this year. You have to come, unless we want to let him write in naps. We'll give Paul a write-in ballot.
The Howard Simon nap.
Oh, I'm definitely taking a nap tomorrow, Hamilton. Somewhere during that Detroit-Chicago game, I get a pre-meal nap in.
Oh, I thought it was the after.
No, because then I never get to bed and I got to work Friday. Pre-meal nap. We'll let you slide. Guy like you doesn't remember stuff that's on a list anyway at your age.
I remember
that's
rolls.
Okay.
Just
another, all right, rolls, they're out.
Just another time you've disappointed us.
Rolls are out. I'm going to vote out the Saints-Falcons game. I'll be asleep.
Yeah,
it's the night game. Yeah. I might be asleep for that.
What do I want to vote out here? Oh, my good. Sorry, Turkey Trot. I think that was still there.
And I'm going to be the sour one and vote out pie.
I don't have to go shopping today.
Let's do another round. I'm voting out liquor.
Okay.
That's fair.
Marty voted out wine. I'm going to keep beer and vote out liquor.
Okay.
Stuffing, beer, family, friends, Jeff.
We need two more out to get a final four to then vote for the Twitter poll.
Yeah. Let's get family out of there. Rob doesn't like his family being at Thanksgiving.
I'm into it.
So let's get family out of there.
Okay.
Wow.
He starts chasing them out as soon as dinner's over.
So then that leaves five more, right?
So Howard, one more.
One, two, three, four, five. One
Stuffing,
more.
Beer, friends, Jeff Skinner, and leftovers.
All right. Wow, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'll kill stuffing.
Stuffing. All right, the final four is up. Beer, friends, Jeff Skinner, or leftovers. We'll see who wins Thanksgiving Survivor.
All right, we'll put that up as a Twitter poll.
On Twitter.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
I like Jeff Skinner's chances. He's hot right now.
Paul with us on our Wester Hotline, brought to you today by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We'll get your calls in on the Sabres. We'll get a little Jags preview when we get back as well. 803-0550 to join us. It is Wednesday. Make sure you tweet us today for your chance to win something on Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That's all you need to do to have a shot at the $25 gift certificate from Jim's Steakout. Again, tweet at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day.
With Ristolainen watching him, tried to spin to the middle of the ice. Now Eichel and Sherry try to work a 2-on-1. Eichel takes the shot, score! scores the Eichel Tower in overtime. And the Buffalo Sabres, with a six-pack of wins, come home to Buffalo with yet another comeback victory.
So, as is pointed out to me, I just wanted to check the schedule tonight.
Hold on, I want more Street Fighting Man.
That's a great song.
I'm the one sitting here saying, I don't think this regime reminds me at all of 0506, but if you want to play every single musical number from that year, I'm happy.
If, yeah, Tampa's, okay, so here you go. Here's your scenario tonight. Sabres beat the Flyers.
Yep.
The Leafs lose to Carolina. They're in Carolina. Tampa's home for Florida. Just need a Leafs loss, a Lightning loss, the Sabres win. Boom, you're tied for first place.
Are you serious? They'd be tied for first?
Yeah, they're 2 points behind the Leafs. The Leafs have 30. The Lightning have 29. The Sabres have 28.
Wait, I thought you meant in the league.
Well, yeah, they would be. Isn't Toronto first overall in the league? Nobody who from the West would have more points?
I mean, Nashville's been really good.
But they don't have 30. Do they have 30?
Well, did they play tonight?
Nashville probably. I think everybody's playing tonight. Nashville's home for St. Louis
Nashville
tonight.
Has 31 points.
Ah, crud. All right. So they'd be tied for first in the division.
And tied atop the East.
If they win tonight and Toronto loses and Tampa Bay loses. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we talk Sabres hockey with you, getting ready for the game tonight. 7:30 faceoff at the KeyBank Center. We have football coming up on Sunday as well. And it's weird what's going on with the Jags this season. Believe it or not, it's 2-3-7 teams meeting. You knew about the Bills, but the Jags are 3-7. They've lost 6 straight. They blew the game to the Steelers on Sunday. And we'll find out for a few minutes what's going on with Sunday's opponent. We're going to the West Shore Hotline. And Tommy Smith is going to join us. He is the host of Jags Today, 1010 XL in Jacksonville. He's also their pre- and post-game show host as well. Hey, Tommy, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Appreciate you having me on, guys.
So, yeah, 3-7. What happened? I know it's a short question for a long answer, but the thumbnail version, what happened?
The laundry list of things that went wrong. Honestly, I think injuries along the offensive line were the first thing that really started going wrong for this football team. The defense hasn't looked anywhere near like the unit they were in 2017. They've had moments, including some last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game that eventually the Jaguars let the Steelers win here in Jacksonville last week as well. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the bottom line is, the quarterback just isn't very good, and they gave him an extension this offseason, not something that it's going to be some long-term thing. It wasn't that kind of deal, but they felt like their best option in this offseason was Blake Bortles, and it appears like they were wrong about Blake Bortles being the best option, and that all those decisions, the injuries, all that combined have left this team 3-7. And we're all very curious in Jacksonville to see how this locker room is going to rebound from the way that they lost the football game last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, we were talking about a little bit here earlier this season. The offense was so bad, and the defense, for the most part, had played very well, and we were wondering if that's going to affect the defense at some point. Is that? I know they look good up until the fourth quarter, but is that an issue in Jacksonville?
It's hard to tell, right? Like, the guys aren't talking about it like it is. It's hard to believe that it isn't some kind of issue, right? And honestly, I think the reason it hadn't been a bigger issue than it already has been that the defense hasn't been very good in certain games. They gave up 40 points to Dallas, of all teams. And we've seen what that Dallas offense is at this point. That's before they had traded for Amari Cooper. That was the Dallas offense that was averaging 17, 18 points a game and just ran it up and down the field on this Jaguars defense. Kansas City is Kansas City. They didn't do very well in that game either. It's the defense hadn't been great for the most part this season. Now, in their defense, they were still, 2 weeks ago, they were still the number one pass defense in football. They were still one of the hardest to score against in football. All those things were still true. Hasn't held true. It felt like Indianapolis scored 29 points in the first half 2 weeks ago against this Jaguars defense. They shut them out in the second half. They came out and played the first three quarters the way they did against Pittsburgh. And then it's Steelers offense. That is, the Steelers offense found a way in the fourth quarter of that game when the Jaguars offense, the Jags on offense in their final four possessions didn't have a first down. Mm-hmm. And if they had ever had a first down in the fourth quarter of the game last week, odds are the Jacksonville Jaguars win that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was that simple for them last week. They weren't able to do it. So I don't know that there's any fighting going on because both sides have dropped the ball enough this year that I don't know that you can look to the other side and say, hey, it's your fault, because they've both been pretty bad at times. but certainly the defensive side is the stronger side for the Jags right now.
Let me get one other thing back to Bortles with you, because I think, you know, we were all watching that game last week, and we kind of figured, you know, Marone was going to run the ball three times on the last possession, and in part for a number of reasons, but in part because he probably didn't trust his quarterback to throw the ball. Do you believe they've gotten to that point? Are they, I know he had a season low 18 attempts the other day. Are they at a point, he and Hackett, where they just flat out don't trust Bortles?
I think they were at that point in that game, and it's hard to argue that they weren't with the way that they called it coming down the stretch. They had, when Pittsburgh scored their first touchdown, it was a busted coverage, led to a 78-yard touchdown pass to Antonio Brown, and Tashaun Gibson just ran incomprehensibly out of position and let Antonio Brown run behind him. So Pittsburgh finally gets on the board at 16-6. The next possession for the Jags, they force a three and out for the Steelers. They get a big punt return from D.D. Westbrook, puts them on the right side of midfield. And on second and nine, they run just a slant. Look, we've been running slants in our backyard playing football since we were 10 years old, right? Like, this is something we've been doing forever. The Jaguars just run a slant. Dante Moncrief is wide open. He's the primary read on the play. Blake Bortles looks at it, has to see that he's open, holds the ball, tries to get to his second read, gets a 9-yard sack. The Jaguars' offense was off the rails from that point in the game last week, and I think it was indicative in the way that they called it late. I think for a week, Nate Hackett lost complete confidence in what Blake Bortles was going to do. Even when it was open, he didn't throw the ball on that drive. How do I trust that if I call something on third and five here that could get us a first down throwing the ball, that even if it's there, that he'll let it go at that point in the game? So, yeah, I thought the confidence was shaken last week. They come out yesterday. The coordinators were speaking on Tuesday because of the weird week with Thanksgiving coming up, and Nate Hackett, the offensive coordinator, said that they still have confidence in Blake Bortles going forward. What else is he going to say?
Yeah.
Said that he's still doing enough to be the starter at this point. What else is he going to say if they're going to start him this week going up against Buffalo? But honestly, the coaching staff's confidence feels like it's been shaken in Blake Bortles, whatever level it was at, because they were just unwilling to try to win the game on third and five last week. That's a throw 10 times out of 10 in today's National Football League, unless you're watching the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So final question for you. Right now, 3-7, they're in position for a top 10 pick. We'll see what happens the rest of the season. Are they drafting a quarterback in the first round? Or what is the plan if they decide to move on from Bortles?
You better believe that all of us that are covering this team are going to be screaming for them to draft the quarterback in the first round. I don't know, right? Like, I think part of it depends on what it looks like for them down over the final six games. They still got a lot of talent on this roster, and if they find a way to win three or four games down the stretch, which is not something I expect, that obviously would affect draft position. How good are the quarterbacks coming out in this draft, and where you're going to be trying to get one of the ones that you feel like might be good? I think that's all so difficult to answer. My expectation is that on opening day next year, Blake Bortles will be the starter for the Jags on opening day, and hopefully he's a guy that's just, he's giving whatever they brought in the draft time to get ready to play. That's what I hope is going to happen here in Jacksonville. It's been 2 years past time for that to happen here in Jacksonville. I think this offseason is finally the one where they pull the trigger and go towards whatever the next guy's going to be in that quarterback room.
Tommy, thanks for the information. Appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and enjoy your Thanksgiving, sir.
Well, you guys do the same. Enjoy it up there. A little cooler for you guys than it will be for me down here, but
49,
maybe a white Christmas.
49 on Sunday at the stadium if you're making the trip, so it's not. Don't worry about it.
That's not too bad. No,
we'll take it.
No.
Yeah. Thanks, Tommy. Have a nice day.
You too, guys.
Tommy Smith, XL1010, joining us on the Westar Hotline. I have a quick stat today for you because it's football and I was saving it. Michael Thomas, remember you brought up Michael Thomas's numbers compared to the rest of the receiving corps. And we know Drew Brees is having what looks like an MVP season for him. Michael Thomas, did you know he's been targeted on 91 passes this season? How many do you believe he's caught on the 91 targets?
67.
82.
Oh, God.
82 of 91, by the way, is a 90% plus catch rate. It would shatter the record. Now, footballoutsiders.com has target stats going back to 1986, the previous high for catches made, target number, 80% by John Taylor in 1989 with San Francisco. Michael Thomas is catching over 90% of his targets, so that is on pace to shatter the previous record.
I've got a stat for you. 14,000 people are going to run the turkey trot tomorrow-ish, probably more than that. You voted it out, which is understandable.
Sorry.
I always know it's not going to win. It's going to be freaking cold. But the turkey trot is possibly my favorite 4 hours in Buffalo of the year. And by 4 hours, I mean you race, you go to the convention center, you drink beer, you see everybody you know. Everybody kind of, sometimes you'll drift to a bar and have a couple of drinks downtown and then, you know, head home, go to your family's Thanksgiving dinner. It is such a great event. And you ever been down for it?
No, as a spectator. No. Well, you know I'd never be in it.
You could
but
walk
not
it.
Even as a spectator.
You could walk it. People walk it.
Yeah.
You I mean, it might be
How
worth
it. How long
your,
is it?
5 miles.
Ooh, walking 5 miles. That would
make like an 8K or five, whatever. Yeah. You go from Hurdle Avenue down to Niagara Square, a little bit past that, on Church Street, come back up for the convention center.
People walk it?
People walk it. Okay. People definitely walk it. People do it in costume. You know, some people are out there to run really fast. Others are out just to have a good time.
I take it you're not showing up in a costume tomorrow.
Me? No.
Okay.
I'm not. But definitely people will. I mean, people wear lots of different things.
Tanky,
I mean,
or you should have run in
a tank. You've got a guy dressed as a chef chasing after a guy dressed as a turkey.
Oh, they work it in concert.
Yes, yes.
Now, that's nice as opposed to just a solo costume.
Yeah, there's lots of really cool stuff. You should go down, if not to walk it some year, you should go stand on the 198 overpass there and just watch people run down Delaware. It's just such a great event. Hmm. It really is cool. When you run underneath
like the
underpasses and everybody hoots and hollers, and it's a great event. And
Can I yell out, you're all winners?
If you want to.
I mean, it's a Seinfeld line, you know. You're all winners!
It is so
and
great,
I
though.
Promise I won't give you hot chocolate.
The first time I did it, I did not know that there was beer at the end.
That's a nice little...
It was like the happiest I've ever been. To surprise beer, you know, you run 5 miles, be part of a community kind of thing, and then at the end, like, hey, there's beer.
Do you run out of energy to last, like, 1/10 of a mile and see the beer tent, and it's like, beer tent! And all of a sudden you get a finish.
That happens after the first 1/10 of a mile.
I got you.
Yeah.
When you realize, there's beer!
The last 4 points... Well, that's the thing about a directional run. It's not a loop. You have to get downtown, basically.
Oh,
people will park their cars downtown the night before and then start the race.
Oh, okay,
like,
so your car's there waiting.
You got to get to your car.
Your ride is there, so you have to get. Okay, I got you.
Yep.
All right, we'll get a quick break in. Extendo Sports coming up and Instigators at the top of the hour. We'll get you ready for the Sabres and the Flyers tonight. Of course, we'll have the game here on WGR. Coverage begins at 6:30 with the pregame show.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Two things I wanted to bring up. I know what you had here, but a note and an update on the Twitter poll on Thanksgiving Survivor. I forgot. It was pointed out to me. So Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, you got the three football games. Chicago, Detroit. Dallas, Washington, Atlanta, New Orleans, though Trubisky might not play for the Bears. We'll see. The Griffs are playing Villanova tomorrow. College Hoops, 1:30, ESPN2. They're in a tournament, and they're playing Villanova, which are bound to be in a bad mood. They just lost back-to-back games for the first time in 6 years and dropped out of the top 25 altogether. So good luck to the Griffs and Reggie Witherspoon. They play the defending national champs. So you got that going on tomorrow, your turkey trot. You got your family touch football game, College Hoops football. All of it going on tomorrow. Update on the Twitter poll. Thanksgiving Survivor, the final four. You can vote. WGR550, we've tweeted it out. Beer, friends, Jeff Skinner, leftovers. Have you seen the results so far?
Jeff Skinner winning?
He is blowing away the field.
Someone should let him know. We should get a victory speech from him.
Yeah, after the game.
After the game. Like, what's more important to you, winning this game tonight?
We've never had a human being win this.
And your hat trick? Or... and your hat trick in each of the three periods?
Goals what? 15, 16, 17?
It's going to be a heck of a game when he scores three in each period.
He's getting 54% of the vote.
2-minute warning.
Leftovers at 23%. Beer at 17%. Friends trailing behind at 6%. So, yeah, I think this would be the first time a human being actually would win Thanksgiving Survivor.
Yeah.
Did we vote out Santa one year? Was Santa ever in Thanksgiving Survivor?
Oh, yeah. We voted him out all the time.
Yeah, so I believe Skinner would set a record for first. Well, Santa's not a human being. Whatever. Anyway, point is, that's the deal. What else? Did I forget anything else?
Your poll this morning. A lot of people, 80% of people think that you're crazier for not trying peanut butter until you're 55.
I got a few people that said, you know, they haven't. It's two of people I think said they never eat peanut butter. I did. A lot of people said they don't like mashed potatoes.
How about picks for tomorrow's games? Who do you got? Bears, Lions. Who do you pick?
I'm going to nap during that game. depends. Is Trubisky playing? Who's the backup again?
Chase Daniel. And Colt McCoy might be playing for Washington.
Yeah.
Last minute of play in the show.
All right, I'll take the Bears. I'll take the Cowboys. I'll take the Saints. I actually wouldn't mind staying up for the Saints-Falcons game. With the way New Orleans scores, Atlanta can score, but their defense is bad. I think there'll be a lot of points in that game. I think that should be entertaining. But that's 8:20 start is just not happening. Listen, we're back. You're off, so you enjoy a couple of days break.
I'll be on Sunday morning for pregame.
Brayton and I are back with you Friday morning. We'll, of course, be talking about the Sabres-Flyers game. We'll have Football Friday for you as well, among many things happening on Friday. Have yourselves a great Thanksgiving. Please be safe, and we'll talk to you then. Instigators coming up next on WGR.